I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of... This is an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, Charles Spurgeon wrote this. He said, "True prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth." He further writes, "If you believe in prayer at all, expect God to hear you. If you do not expect, you will not have. God will not hear you unless you believe He will hear you. But if you believe He will be as good as your faith." Listen to this one from Abraham Lincoln. "I know that the Lord is always on the side of what's right, but it's my constant anxiety and prayer that I and this nation may be on the Lord's side." Wow. Adrian Rogers says, "Prayer can do anything that God can do, and God can do anything." I don't know about you, but what I've learned about prayer over these years is that most of our major answers and breakthroughs in our life, Kevin and I, have come one subtle movement and moment at a time, in little nuanced ways, you know, one step at a time. Prayer is sometimes the most intimate expression of fellowship with our Father, and other times it feels like you're getting bloodied on the battlefield. Other times it just takes a measure of grit to hang in there because it feels like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling and that God doesn't hear you. Yet, prayer is one of the greatest gifts God's given to us, and access to His presence and invitation to dialogue with Him is just, and the reality that He moves when we pray, well, wow, right? Well, we've got an encouraging show for you today. My good friends, Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas, founders of Substance Church, join me in studio to talk about the power of prayer. Quick announcement before we get them on. If you listen to the live show and you never want to miss a show again, you can subscribe to the podcast and listen when it suits you. Hey, and if you're a podcast listener and you want to catch the live show, maybe you have a better chance at winning some of the books we give away most days, you can download our free Faith Radio app or go to the App Store, search Faith Radio Network. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas are founders and lead pastors of Substance Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Peter's the author of several books, and together, Peter and Carolyn speak to leaders and church planners literally all over the world. They have three children and make their home in the Minneapolis area, and I love these two. This time, I want you to talk at the same time. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah.
Yay! Love you, Susie. Something you don't know with radio because you don't get to see things, but they're so whipped on each other. It's just unbelievable. Whenever they're together, and I think they're together a lot because they're married, but whenever I'm in their presence, they can't seem to get enough of each other. It just melts my heart more than I could say. But you know this because you're on quite often. I love to start by talking scripture. Carolyn, what about you? Is there a verse you've been thinking?
Yes. So, you know, I pulled up my journal, and every morning I love to just start writing out some prayers. And so just literally 2 days ago, I was praying, and I just started praying the scripture, Psalm 51:10, and it was, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Mm. And as I wrote that in the journal, I felt like the Holy Spirit stopped me and instantly went, "Let's talk about what's a right spirit." And then I just wrote, "Not an angry spirit, not an offended spirit, not a reactive spirit, not a fearful spirit, not an annoyed spirit, not an unteachable spirit, not a factually correct spirit. But Lord, create in me renew a right spirit within me from your Holy Spirit that is humble, teachable, pure, filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control," Galatians 5:22. And it was just a beautiful moment because I don't know about you, but I don't wake up filled with God's Spirit. I wake up annoyed, angry, frustrated at culture and what's going on in our life, and I want to react, and I'm finding myself more offended in this season and more angry in this season. And so it was just a really good moment for me and the Holy Spirit to, I just realized if I don't pray, "Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me," it's not happening. Hmm. And we can assume Carolyn does not have a clean heart and she does not have a right spirit.
And as her husband, I really appreciate it when she prays that prayer. So
you are
if I could
so
just add
funny.
That.
Yeah.
Susie was having having a moment there.
Right,
and,
I'm sorry, I wrecked it.
Okay,
wrecked
Peter
it.
The Pharisee.
Lord, created me.
Wait, you wrote Pharisectomy, if I seem to remember right. Speaking of Peter's books, we do have some copies of Broken Escalators. It's a hysterical book, so funny. And yet, at one moment, you're laughing, and the next you're being just knocked over by a theological insight. You got to have it. So text the word book if you want in on the drawing, because it'll be so fun to give some of those away. Text to 877-933-2484. So, Mr. Pastor Peter, what about you? What you got?
Well, I wake up with a right spirit quite often. And, in this season, I think everybody's been like, I wish I could hear more political opinions.
Right.
I wish I could
That's
hear,
it. Not
you
enough.
The truth is, I think we're all worn out. We're all worn out. And you think about billions of dollars being advocated on behalf of human issues. And I came upon this scripture verse, and it just really reoriented me. And it's Psalm 146, verse 3. It says, do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirits depart, they return to the ground, and on that very day, their plans come to nothing. Mm. But blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Amen.
Right now, we're living in a world that's spending trillions of dollars trying to get us to trust in a human agenda as though that will somehow magically turn everything towards peace. And yet the Bible teaches the exact opposite, putting our faith in God, the Lord who created all things. And I think about all throughout history how God has taken wicked kings and made them good. And we've also seen a million examples of good kings who've turned bad. And at the end of the day, that's why we don't have to trust. We can be liberated from the roller coaster of life. And we can be liberated from the roller coaster of an election or of all the opinions that people have about COVID. We can be liberated because at the end of the day, we serve a good and faithful Heavenly Father. And when we place our faith in that, then all of a sudden, that's where the blessing comes from. And so just for anybody who's out there, maybe you're looking at your life and you don't feel blessed. Maybe our trust happened to got misplaced in a few different places, and we just need to reorient ourselves. Just one simple little reorientation moment right here and now can be the difference between blessing and curse.
Somebody give me an amen. I mean, amen. I ask for these amens and they start coming in the text. Someone's got to give me an amen. Thank you, Lord. I mean, really, as you're talking, Peter, I'm thinking of in Hebrews, you know, the things are being shaken so that which cannot be shaken can be clearly seen.
Yeah.
And what if at least our listeners around the upper Midwest in Connecticut and really around the world through podcast, what if we had a different spirit in the next several weeks? What if we didn't ride the roller coaster? What if we committed to stability? Because there's some things that are not shaken that we can see. It's God's word, his love, his call. What if we approach this with a different spirit? Because there are already people preparing to be offended. If I don't get my way,
correct.
I'm going
to
be offended. We should be interceding like crazy right now and determined to walk in love and strength.
Amen.
And, I've talked to so many pastors behind the scenes, Carolyn, and all of them have said, I've not had one exception yet. All of them have said, I've never in my lifetime seen things get so politicized within the church. People are mad no matter what I do. Like everything, mask, no mask, open, don't open. I mean, everything is politicized. Like they can't win. I'm curious if that's been your experience as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, we kind of joked that in one Sunday, Peter was, accused of being extremely liberal and extremely conservative and in the same service.
Must be doing something right.
Exactly.
I'm a living contradiction.
Exactly.
Okay.
So Substance has now reopened for 14 weeks. And I think it's fun to encourage people that we've had 306 individual services in 14 weeks of reopening church, and there's not been one COVID outbreak. Mm. And so I think that's an encouraging word. But aside from that, this is the more encouraging, is we saw an instant decrease in anger because of worship. So, sermons, videos, you can podcast a sermon anywhere, but worship is much harder in your living room. Can we be honest say that people are distracted? You got your coffee, you got your dog, you got kids running around.
You're watching worship.
You're not actually arms held high, lifted in holy hands, fully surrendered and immersed in a worship service. And so when we started reopening church, we instantly saw people start calming down in their emotions and in their anger and in their accusations, even towards us as pastors, because of the power of worship. And that fits with Romans 1, because Romans 1 actually says that we can know God, but if we stop worshiping him, our thinking becomes futile and our wow. hearts become darkened.
Wow.
And so often we've thought of that as a Thanksgiving passage in Romans chapter 1. But it's also a worship passage, and there's something about we've got to get back, which is why Hebrews says, do not get out of the habit of meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but don't do it, because there's something about corporate worship when you're lifting holy hands. 1 Timothy talks about lift holy hands without anger and without controversy, and you can't lift your hands in holy prayer and worship and hold on to anger and controversy. And so what I feel like as a pastor, I am calling people, get back into church, get back into worship, because you need to surrender and you need to be with other people to surrender.
Mm, wow. Well, you recently preached a message. I think you preached it together about working through your faith, but it really was on the power of prayer. Maybe set up that message, if you would, for us.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, I think a lot of people are missing the real treasure in this season, and that's communicating with God.
Wow.
And, like I like you said, God, I think God is shaking things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people that are going to draw close to, there's either two responses. We go off on our own and we put our faith in politics, or we pull our hearts into God and watch him do what he does. And so ultimately, what was so interesting about even this COVID season is right after COVID hit and all the craziness is happening, I've got pastors all over the United States that are in crisis, kicked out of their buildings. One pastor was in a county where the county made it illegal for his church to even do videos, as if somehow video spread COVID. And you could see it for what it is. It's obviously fear. It's fear.
Yeah.
And I felt like in that moment, this is that moment where either we take refuge in God more than ever. And so I wanted to hit messages in our church community that would ground people to the fundamentals of this season. And so, and in the midst of that season, I happened to have a spine injury. I went over my handlebars on a bike and had, I almost lost use of my arms. So in the midst of this tragedy, I'm like, of all things that were, I was in the midst of one of my most desperate moments. And
and had to wear a neck brace for 3 months, every day, all the time.
Yeah,
and that was insane.
Yeah, and I actually felt, this is gonna sound really, really crazy, but I felt like the Lord allowed me to go through that experience to help me remember the desperation that people feel and to actually pastor my people through the lowest moment in my life so that they can reground themselves.
Wow.
And so that's how am I praying in this season? What has changed in my life that keeps me positive?
We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to dig into the power of prayer, of working out our faith. We welcome questions and comments like this one. Victoria says, I think of Carolyn as you were going for it. She says, love, Lord, help us to have your spirit. I was laughing and reminded because I wake up with an irritated spirit at times, and I always have to say, help me, Lord. I surrender to you. Thank you for all the reminders. Lord, you have permission to create a clean heart in me. Keep pushing me to pray and intercede. I love you, Victoria. Thanks for tuning in. Again, we've got some Peter Haas books to give away, Broken Escalators. You will love this book. And in a day like this, you do need to laugh, and yet there's deep theological truth in it as well. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to an encore presentation of Suzy Larson Live. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. I just want you to pause and think about this for a moment. If you're carried along by the wind and the waves of the vitriol, the angst, the rage, remember what I said the other day on the show? I'm going to say it again and I say it again. But when my boys were growing up, I always told them, hey, if you have to let go of love to hang on to your cause, you've lost your way. So what if we paused and started to pray? What if we searched our own hearts? What if we entered into that throne room and let God deal with us so that we could pray and see mountains move? This is what we must do as God's people. I marvel at the number of Christians I'm meeting right now who are so bitter and feel justified in it because of the times. There's no justification. We don't get the option, right? This is why I'm so excited to have Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas in studio to talk about working out our faith and the power of prayer. We got a handful of copies of Peter's book, Broken Escalators. It's, again, so funny and so deep at the same time. So one minute you're laughing and the next minute you're getting smacked between the eyes. That's my favorite kind of communication, I'm just saying. 877-933-2484. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. So back to the message here. So you were saying before the break, Peter, you want people grounded in this day of just chaos. You want to ground them in the fundamentals. Pick it up from there.
Well, when you read the book of Acts, you know, you discover that prayer was not merely a life vest. It was a lifestyle. It wasn't a life vest that is just for crisis. It was a lifestyle. Wow. And literally every chapter of the book of Acts has some sort of statement about prayer being fundamental. Acts 1:14 says the disciples joined together constantly in prayer. So how often were they getting together?
Wow.
Constantly, not sporadically, not occasionally, not once in a while. Then the next chapter, Acts 2:42, right after this huge expansion, they just had 3,000 people saved at the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves to prayer.
Wow.
If we looked at our schedules, would those schedules say we are devoted to prayer? Or would it say we're devoted to TV or devoted to whatever, eating food, which is eating snack cakes like I am. I'm very devoted. Like it means that you spend a significant time and emotion on it. And then Acts 4:24, it says they raised their voices together in prayer. Acts 6 says that the apostles delegated things so they could give their attention back to prayer. Acts 9, Ananias is praying. Acts 10, Peter is praying on a rooftop. Acts 12 says Peter was put in prison, but the church was praying.
Come on.
My point is, almost every chapter in the book of Acts points to God's people praying. It was not a life vest. It was a lifestyle. It wasn't an add-on to Christianity. It was central to it. And I kind of wonder sometimes in times like this, if crisis doesn't cause us to have problems, but it reveals the problems we already have. In other words, it reveals our prayerlessness. We may have been able to get away with prayerlessness in the past.
It's true.
But now are we able to do it? And I think about even 1 Timothy 2, it says where Paul says, pray for all your political leaders. He's like, pray for all of them and even give thanks for all of them, which is almost hard, okay, when you think about Paul saying that. But he says in verse 3, 1 Timothy 2:3, this is good and pleases God our Savior. In other words, if we really wanted to live a lifestyle pleasing to the Lord, we would be living a lifestyle of praying and giving thanks for all of our leaders. And why do we want to please God? Well, Ecclesiastes 2:26 says to the person who pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness.
Wow.
But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God.
Wow.
Whoa, right.
Mm-hmm.
To the person who pleases God, he gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. Well, how do we please God? By praying for our leaders, all of them. What if the very wisdom, knowledge, and happiness we were looking for in our marriages, in our workplaces, or in our physical bodies, what if that grace was dispensed to us by simply giving thanks for our leaders? What would happen if we did that in such a time as this? And I know that that can be really hard, especially when there's certain people where you don't really have a whole lot of faith in leaders, and yet that's the commandment of God. Mm. And this is God's preordained plan for us to please him.
You know, I what are we afraid of? Because I'm sure you're raising hackles even now. I remember a number of years ago, 10 years ago, I don't remember what it was, but when there was a president, a liberal president in the office, and I'd mentioned that verse about praying for our leaders, whether you agree with them or not, scathing 3-page letter telling me how uninformed I am because of where they land politically. And I wasn't saying I agreed with them, but I was
right,
quoting scripture. The thing is, you can't hate people for very long when you start to intercede for them.
Yeah,
and
true.
I think even behind issues we agree and disagree with, there's probably a broken heart. There's, you know, there's not a clean spirit at times. Maybe some are grabbing for power, but some maybe think they're fighting a good fight. I mean, only God knows the heart. But what's what we allow in our hearts, Carolyn, that makes all the difference, goes back to the verse that you opened with. Outcomes are in his hands, but we've got to do the things he asks of us.
Well, and what I found is we love to have an us versus them.
Yeah.
We want to choose sides. And we have to understand that every human Christ died for and loves and is interceding for and wants them to spend eternity with him in heaven, whether or not they are Republican or Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't like that. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, we want
right.
to hate people and we want to choose sides. And I just think about how when King Saul died, and we all can agree biblically, he died an evil king, and yet David didn't go, yes, and do a celebration. He actually commanded mourning, and he actually wrote a song of mourning and honor to an evil king who tried to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if Peter and I had someone trying to kill us, and then they died, I'm sorry, but I probably would have a party,
mm-hmm.
and I would shout it from the rooftops and be like, ding dong, the witch is dead.
Right.
And yet David was like, oh, no, no, no,
mm-hmm.
we honor,
mm-hmm.
we honor, we honor. And in fact, there's scriptures in Jude that talk about even angels, they do not even speak bad about demons. They don't even, like, it's
yeah.
like, they don't dare, and demons are bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, where's the honor? Like, I think we're losing God's heart. God loves every person. He doesn't
mm-hmm.
love people that just agree with him.
That's
because
right.
honor is not for the person you give it to. It's for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's what honor does in us when we give it. And I think fundamentally, we don't trust the Holy Spirit to do the convicting. Recently, I had a guy at Substance. So John 16:8 says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. That means we don't have to do it, okay?
If, did you hear that, people?
Yeah, that's actually the good
news. All of us,
name,
right? Holy Spirit.
John 16:8, right? It's okay, it's the Holy Spirit's job. Now, and I know a lot of us are like, I don't know, Pastor Peter, I'm a pretty darn good Holy Spirit. I mean, when I shame people, they love it. You know, people take my guilt trips like they're a vacation. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about. I think the shamers are everywhere. The self-appointed, you know, confronters. Recently, Carolyn and I were mentoring this young 20-something in our church, and I'm going to call this person David. To protect their identity. David came to us with an interesting problem that I think a lot of people will relate to. One of his coworkers was insecure and passive aggressive every time he came around. And this coworker would do things like have meetings but not invite David, even though David was supposed to be there, right? Or he would throw parties and purposefully not invite David, even though everyone else loved David, right? And so just weird, subtle, passive-aggressive stuff as if David was a threat to him. And so, you know, and I'm sure that where every one of your listeners work, everyone is blissfully happy. They always communicate. They show up and do trust falls every morning. But I just, you know what I mean? Like, but for David, this tension was getting to the point where he's like, I can't stand it. It's so weird. It's so obvious. And so he came to us and he's like, Pastor Peter and Carolyn, how do I confront this guy? I mean, he's already proven to be so weird. Would the confrontation make it worse? And immediately we were like, yeah, depending on how you do it, the confrontations can backfire. But we were like, how about you just pray? How about you spend the next 10 days just pray? And of course, most people, they hate that solution, but because they don't really believe in prayer,
mm-hmm.
right? But he was desperate. And so by day three, get this, he ran into this guy at work and said, and the guy came up to him after he was praying for 3 days. The guy came up to him and said, David, I had the craziest dream last night about you. In the dream, you were upset at me because I was mistreating you. And I felt so guilty, and I just wanted to come up to you and apologize.
Whoa, that's amazing. Oh, my goodness, I love that. We're going to talk more about that when we come back. Talking to Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas. And Aaron says, amen to the honor. We'll talk more about that as well. What a day we're in. Great conversation up ahead. We'll be back in a moment. This is an encore presentation of Suzy Larson Live. Hope you're having a really great day. We are having an amazing time in studio with Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas. They're both founders of Substance Church in the Minneapolis area, talking about honor, talking about the power of prayer, talking about trusting the Holy Spirit to do his work. So in a way that, you know, we've sort of taken it upon ourselves. We don't need to be doing that. Before the break, Peter, you were talking about someone in your church, young man, in his workplace, he had a passive-aggressive coworker who was inviting everybody to parties but him, even though everybody else liked him, and just constantly sending these mixed messages and sometimes overt messages. And he came to you saying, Pastor, what should I do? Take it from there.
Well, I think we've all had people who are sinning against us, if I could just put it bluntly.
Yeah.
And yet, how do you confront that? How do you do that without making it even more messy? And so we told this guy, instead of confronting him, why don't you take a prayer strategy? Just pray 10 days straight for this individual. And that's where it happened. On day three, the guy he was praying for came up to him and said, I had a crazy dream last night. And in the dream, you were upset at me because I was completely mistreating you, completely misjudging you. And all of it was true. And I felt so guilty. And of course, David was kind of shell-shocked, like pretending like, wow, what a crazy dream you had.
You know, and like, didn't he apologize? He's like, I'm sorry for my dream self that I yelled at you. Yeah. He was inside.
And the guy laughed. And the guy laughed. And he goes, but the guy goes, no, honestly, I felt guilty. And I knew I was wrong. And he goes, I'm just wondering, David, would you just want to do coffee with me this week? Let's just get to know each other a little bit more. And they ended up having a heart-to-heart conversation that completely changed the whole relationship dynamic. And when I heard that story, I thought, I wonder how many relationships we've screwed up simply because we tried to hijack the role of the Holy Spirit, John 16:8. And thus it backfired. And I wonder how often that even happens in politics, where God has taken evil, wicked emperors like Constantine and turned them into the greatest advocates for Christianity. God did it with Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament. He did it with Cyrus. Why couldn't he do that with any? I mean, like, I sometimes wonder, the real issue, I think, is ultimately a lack of prayer.
Yeah.
All of our issues. That prayer avails much.
Yeah. Come on, somebody.
And it's not just true with politics. It's true with our personal, our finances, our physical bodies.
Yeah, Carolyn. So we have this crazy story. There's this family. I think this will just inspire you. And they've given us permission to share their story. So it's Mike and Missy Evans. And what's fun is they did not go to church. So they were not a church family. They were actually, even with kids, they would go drinking every weekend. Their marriage was on the rocks. They were on the verge of divorce. And one of their cousins invited them to Substance. And so they came. They loved it. They started planting themselves in the local church, coming every Sunday, growing and growing. And in that, they went from this consumer, crazy party family to God started birthing in them a heart and a passion for the vulnerable. And out of nowhere, this heart for foster care started. So they started a small group in our church, and they started reading books. I mean, neither of them had known anybody in foster care or anything like that. Long story short, they've now helped tons, like dozens and dozens of families get officially licensed by the state of Minnesota to become foster families. They've gotten hundreds of people in our church involved to help support foster families and to give supplies and encouragement and prayer. And so in part of that, they adopted a daughter. And then now they're on the adoption internationally. They're in this journey. And so here we are. They've been at our church now 8 years. So it's kind of an 8-year journey. And this foster ministry has been beautiful. Well, check this out. 7 weeks into COVID, the wife, Missy, reached out to me with the most amazing miracle story. And so it kicks off with January 2020. Just as a follower of Jesus, they're praying, they're fasting. They're saying, God, what's this year about? What do you want to work on in our lives? And they felt like God said, work on your budget. And so they were like, oh, okay, we got to be more disciplined. And so they put together a really tight budget, and they asked God, please help us stick to this budget. And that they would just really, so they were also saving money for this international adoption. Well, then COVID hits in March, and Mike instantly gets a call that his pay from his great job that he has is going to be cut immediately. So now they're thrust into making difficult decisions. And so they sat there together at the kitchen table. They're working through their budget, their reduced income, and they just had to pray like, okay, God, we trust you not only for the money for this adoption, but just for our budget. And listen to this. As they did this, they had the overwhelming sense that because they were going to adjust the tithe, the 10% that they give to the local church. They were like, well, our income's different, so let's adjust that. And they said, no, we're supposed to keep our tithe at what our income was, and we're going to trust God. And she said to me, she goes, Carolyn, I'm telling you, it took faith. It took discipline. She goes, I remember being at the grocery store and I had to put items back because it didn't fit the budget. I mean, that's humbling. Do you know anyone who does that? I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And again, they're saving up for adoption. Well, in the middle of this faith journey, they find out that they need the check for $7,000 for this international adoption. So again, they're just crying out to the Lord and praying. And she literally texted me, you know, 7 weeks into COVID, May 4th, and said, we sent the paperwork off. We sent a $7,000 check. She said, we literally don't know how it happened. We're going back to our bank account. We're checking over and over. It makes no sense. It was easy. Only God could do this. And then literally within a week of that, Mike gets a call. His income's going back to normal. Many of his coworkers, it was not yet, but his was going back to normal. I think what I love about that story is it's a journey. It's a journey of discipleship. It's a journey of faith. It's a journey of trusting God and being disciplined and yet doing the hard work. I think sometimes we want God to just do fluffy miracles without us having to do the hard work a budget and of grocery shopping and sacrificing and trusting God. And I'm telling you, when we align ourselves with heaven's priorities, we position ourselves for heaven's provision.
Say that again.
When we align ourselves with heaven's priorities, we position ourselves for heaven's provision. And I'm telling you, prayer is the space where we wrestle it out, where we give up control, where we give up our emotions and our attitudes, and we cease from striving, and we activate our faith, and we allow God to do what only He can do.
Come on,
it's right. So, you know, I just want to issue a challenge to all of us as we think about this. You know, what's that thing that you're white knuckling, that you're stressing about? Go to the throne and wrestle it through with God and do some of the hard work, as Carolyn is talking about. You know, for me, again, it's my health, the kind of discipline that I have to have. It's if I don't abide by just certain rules with diet and sleep, there's just huge consequences for me. It's just the reality. And I'm not deprived, but it is just my reality. I have to contend for this thing, and just is how it is. But I keep seeing God show up. So I'm asking you, if there's something in your life, you've been waiting on your mat, waiting for God to zap you, and yet He's saying, get up and let's contend. I challenge you on that. But also, Peter, the challenge to pray for our leaders, but specifically the one you're vehemently opposed to. I mean, I wonder what would happen in our hearts if we put that person on the list every day and interceded for their hearts, for their story, for what breaks their heart, that they would encounter the living God. I mean, don't we want them to have more of Jesus?
Yes.
Well, I think about all the wicked leaders in the Bible who had a turning in their heart. I mean, how could Nebuchadnezzar go all of a sudden and be an advocate for God? How could Cyrus, how could you just go throughout church history and you think about if God can use a donkey to speak the oracles of God? Okay, it goes to show that it's not the vessel, ultimately. There's something bigger going on there. And I really believe that we can be a part of that miracle. I'm not saying don't have an opinion, or I'm not saying don't vote your conscience, but it's kind of like the night in which Jesus was betrayed by Judas. It was a political thing, right, if you think about it. Judas shows up with soldiers, and Peter takes out his sword, starts swinging.
Wow.
And immediately, who does Jesus rebuke? Peter, not Judas. And why? Because He wanted Peter to understand carnal forms of influence and justice will only create more collateral damage. Carnal forms of influence and justice will only create more collateral damage. And so Jesus finally rebuked Peter, saying, Matthew 26:52, put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and He will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? That's how He rebukes Peter. Historically, 12 legions of angels equals 72,000 angels. And keep in mind, one angel in the Old Testament put to death over 185,000 men. Okay, one. Can you imagine 72,000 angels? And so Jesus is basically saying to Peter, do you realize how much spiritual power we have? Human power doesn't stand a chance against divine power. But the key phrase, He says, my Father in heaven. It's the fatherhood of God. If we're grounded in the fatherhood of God in the midst of this election season, we would never even bother worrying about carnal forms of influence in comparison to divine forms of influence. And I think that's what we need to be, just reminding ourselves that we have spiritual authority to do things that other people that do not have. We have a peace that other people don't have. And but it requires a fundamental faith in God and in prayer.
Yeah. You know, we don't have authority unless we're under authority. You think about that. Isn't that what Watchman Nee said? And I'm thinking about James 4:7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I remember doing a study on that. And submit to God is a military term, hence the camo shirt that I'm wearing today. Just kidding. Woo. But it's a military term. It means get back in rank.
Wow.
And I just want to think about, as believers, you know, each of us have got to search our own hearts. But how do you get out of rank? You usurp authority.
Wow.
You dishonor authority, dishonor God.
Wow.
You are jealous of someone who's doing what you want to do, and you start to pick them apart rather than waiting for you to be trained and step into your, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All those kinds of things. Jealousy is the gateway to every other evil, James says. And
yes.
So when you're out of rank, you don't have authority. I wonder how many Christians are fighting their battles and the cultural battle on an earthbound plane, and there's no power in their lives because they are so far out of rank. But then you submit to God, you get back in rank, and then you resist the devil. He has to flee from you. And, you know, if there's a passion for my day right now is to say, we've got to step into the power of God.
Yeah.
But we've got to let that power of God deal with us first. And it's not comfortable, as you were saying at the beginning of the show, Carolyn, when you say, have your way in me, he will. He'll speak to you about the nuances and the crooked places. But there's no substitute for the presence and power of God.
Yes. You know, I've been encouraging our staff with this thought that, even the season of COVID has revealed new triggers for me.
Mm-hmm.
Things that I'm finding myself extra angry or over responsible for, or I've got harmony and I just want everything to be peaceful all the time. And instead of being shame filled or embarrassed of those weaknesses, it's just so beautiful to go, okay, God, you're using this season to reveal offense in my heart. You're using this season to reveal things that I feel responsible for that I'm not, or I just want peace all the time and I hate controversy and debate. And would you do a deeper work in me? And would you reveal yourself to me? And would you bring healing and wholeness? And I just wonder if for those of you listening today, I just want to encourage you not to be embarrassed or ashamed of a trigger that you might have, but to take that and go, okay, God, you are, this emotion is real. Would you come in, Holy Spirit, and bring healing and wholeness and bring your perspective to my trigger?
Amen. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to just ask you both, if you could cast a vision for what these next weeks could look like leading up to the election, if you could dream big and get excited about what is possible when we are in Christ and the fact that he is in us, what might that look like? And friends, we've got several copies of Pastor Peter's book, Broken Escalators. I was thinking of Pharisectomy Escalators. Like, how do I put those two together? Two different books, Broken Escalators. What's the subtitle on that one, Peter?
It's how to,
It's been a while. I know.
It's basically, it's on the 10 myths of promotion and happiness.
Oh, it's such a good book. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's God we're talking about. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. Hey, if you just tuned in, oh my goodness, once the live show is over, it'll go to podcast. You got to listen to the whole show. I've got my good friends, Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas, in studio today. We're talking about working and through wrestling through our faith, the power of prayer, the power of honor, and how to steward these days with a heart of peace, with a heart of honor, how to pray for your political candidates that you're absolutely opposed to. Boy, we've had some good conversation. I've got a few copies of Peter's book, Broken Escalators. It's all about promotion, happiness, and some of the myths around being promoted and our happiness. It is hysterically funny and so rich and deep at the same time. And I just think it's a perfect book for our day right now. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So let's talk if we can. I want you to cast a vision, both of you, for, you know, we've got however many weeks left till the election, and some people are bracing for impact. Some people are, I've already decided, if I don't get my way, I mean, it's all hell's going to break loose. Like, you know, it's, they're already preparing to be offended. But as Christians, we have got to be doing this differently. So as pastors, cast a vision. If you could have a dream come true, what would it look like?
Well, it's important for Christians to understand that there's no way we can lose. There is no way we can lose. God is always, always working things to the benefit of those who love him.
Amen.
And if we truly just, if we stopped and grounded ourselves in that, it's not going to be a roller coaster for us. Okay, so I can just encourage everybody, no matter what happens, I'm not saying don't have an opinion. I'm saying no matter what happens, we have hope. Years ago, I got to hear the story of a prayer group of Christians in Brazil, a city called Goiânia. And it's a pretty large city, about 1.2 million. And but the city is famous for it being obsessed with spiritism, kind of like Ouija boards, communicating with the dead, reincarnation, things like that. And so people travel from all over the world to Goiânia to communicate with dead spirits, right? So if you're a Christian in that city, you're a minority. And yet in the early 90s, there was a group of women who just started a prayer group praying over this city. They just wanted to see their city change. And that prayer group eventually turned into a radio show, not unlike what you do, Susie. And that radio show eventually grew to the point where they had 200,000 listeners a day participating in this citywide prayer radio program. And they'd share crime stats, prayer walks. And the goal was simple. God, fall on our city. Well, of course, the radio station they were on was not a Christian radio station. And the owner was dramatically wanting to raise the rates. He didn't like the whole idea of women praying on his radio station. It didn't really fit his vibe. And so he was trying to push them off the air. And so in 1999, he finally did it. He canceled the show and said, enough's enough. I don't want a prayer meeting on my radio. And for the first time in years, that prayer meeting had to shut down just entirely. And it in some ways, it kind of reminded me of churches during COVID. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, churches have to shut down. You just can't do it anymore. No, like, and then immediately, within just a couple weeks, the crime rate of Goiânia dramatically increased by 50%. Even more, the radio station's popularity ranking went from number 3 to number 17.
Whoa.
And out of desperation, the city decided to send a delegation to the radio host, like someone like you, Susie, to beg them, please, please, please restart your prayer meeting. To the point where even the mayor of the city, the chief of police in the city, begged her, please restart the prayer meeting. And get this, the moment they restarted the broadcast, the crime rate suddenly dropped again. And when I read about this, I couldn't help but to think what's going on in America right now. Over 400,000 churches shut down for 3 months, immediately record high murder rates, record high suicide attempts, record high overdoses. And yet,
keep going.
It's very similar, right? It sounds very similar. And yet, the story of this prayer meeting in Brazil, it's not over, because right after the meeting restarted, everything started to change in that city. And the greatest part is that prayer movement, once they resumed, in the 6 years that followed, evangelical Christians in that city grew from 8% to 45%. Over 540,000 new Christians are now proclaiming the life of Christ in that city. But where did it start? It started with people praying. What if God was setting us up in 2020 for the greatest revival
Come
in our history?
On.
People just needed to see what we were capable of, and even just more, get a sense of the value of the church. Now that we've had to live without it in many states for 3, 4, 5 months, look what we've got. Is this really what we want? Maybe it is time for us to try this really unique solution that people have tried throughout the ages, and that's the power of Jesus Christ. And I wonder, what if God was doing that?
Somebody give me an amen. I mean it, and I'll see it soon here on the text line. I'm just speechless. That's so powerful. Carolyn, what would you want to add to that?
I am just in agreement. Like, I'm just imploring everybody we get to be the good news of Jesus Christ. And good news is mentioned in Mark chapter 1, it's mentioned 3 times. In Romans chapter 1, it's mentioned 7 times. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's spread the good news. Let's preach the good news. I'm not ashamed of the good news. I just had a woman come to church who got diagnosed with cancer, and she brought her whole family so we could pray. And I went, she's not afraid of COVID. She desperately wants a miracle for her cancer more than she's afraid of COVID. And that's what we need to see, is a desperation for God to move. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where the spirit of fear. And so when it comes to the election, when it comes to praying, I want to see people praying biblical prayers rather than partisan prayers. Yeah. I want to hear, Father in heaven, you know, your will be done. May your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us our sins. Instead of us pointing the blame and the finger at other people's sins and pointing, because that's all people are doing is pointing at other, but forgive us for my sins, as I'm going to forgive those who've sinned against me. And don't let us not give in to temptation. There's a lot of temptation right now, again, to be angry, cynical, offended, frustrated. Lord, help us. That's that daily prayer. Help us not give in to temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so I think we can pray, you know, again, biblical prayers versus partisan prayers are, let righteousness rule and reign. That's a great prayer. Let corruption be revealed. That's a great prayer. That's not Republican or Democrat. I can just pray, let righteousness rule and reign. Let there be justice. Let there be mercy. Bring healing to our land. You know, again, I just think God loves everybody. Jesus is right now interceding for all men and women to be saved. That is his heart's desire. So if that's not my heart's desire, if I'm hating on people rather than interceding for their salvation, then that's a heart issue for me.
When we say amen, amen, amen. When we say lead us not into temptation, I mean, think about it. What's your temptation? You know, maybe your temptation is that bitterness, the rage, the angst, where you're just not willing to look at yourself. And we're in such a day where you even will hear about facts and people are like, well, that's not my truth. You know, if you hear about a case and you hear actual verifiable facts, people are so mob mentality, they don't care about the truth. But I'm just saying, if they're lost walking in darkness, they don't even know what makes them stumble. But if we have the light of Christ within us, we have to be operating in a different spirit. And Peter, one of the verses I pray is Psalm 75:10, and it says, for I will cut off the strength of the wicked and increase the power of the godly. And if we could see that God would cut off the strength, as you say, wherever, whenever, cut off the strength of the wicked and increase the power of the godly. If we could walk in kingdom power, that's things might start to change, you know.
What a beautiful prayer. Wisdom from heaven, James 3:17. Wisdom from heaven is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. If what we are saying or advocating for is not peace-loving, considerate, and submissive, then we can rest assured it's not from heaven, nor are we in sync with God.
Wow. You know, you were talking earlier about David, and just, I think it was Carolyn, you were talking about when Saul died, and he refused to do a happy dance. In fact, he mourned. And I was thinking, you know, earlier in the story where Saul was trying to kill him.
Yeah.
And here he's in a cave, and Saul's going to the bathroom, and, you know, David has this opportunity to take him out, but he just takes a portion of his robe, and his conscience bothers him so much because he feared God.
Yeah.
I want to see a fear of God and an honor of people in leadership come back, because that's why the anointing was so strong on David's life, is he feared God. He didn't do it perfectly. He made choices he ought not at times, but he feared God and he honored even wicked leaders above him.
Well, there were 3,000 elite soldiers there to kill him.
Right.
And yet he was feeling so bad about cutting the tassel off, and just the significance of that, he cut the tassel off Saul's robe. That tassel was there to remind him of the law. And so to remind Saul. So people would put tassels on their robe to remind themselves to read the Bible. And so he cut it off almost like, because he knew that it would like shame him. It would be like, oh, did you notice Saul doesn't have the tassel? That means he's not reading his Bible. So he did it to make him look stupid. And then he felt so guilty that he comes out, confesses it to 3,000 elite soldiers there to kill him. He cared about his own sin more than his life.
Wow.
And he cared about his own life and just said, and then he said, may God judge between you and me. He just let it be that simple. He didn't even say, Saul, you did this and you did that, and that's why I felt tempted to cut off the corner of your... He didn't give a monologue.
Which is what I would probably do.
Yeah, I would do that. Oh, I would do that without fail. But I thought, Lord, give me the promotability of David.
Amen.
If we could just focus on our own sin and pray, like, everything depends on God. I'm just telling you, things will work out in our favor.
You know, I mean, for David to say, may God sort this out. I mean, he knew God would sort this out. And we've got to trust God will sort this out. As I often say, heaven knows who's who in the zoo. You know, heaven
true.
Knows what's what, who's who, and what's going on, and whose heart is pure and whose isn't. And one day, all the covers will be pulled back. And you know what? One thing I've been reading, I know we got to say goodbye here, but just the idea that your private struggle is going to bring you public glory one day when you're revealed with all of, I mean, Jesus is looking to that day to bring you glory and honor as people bring honor to his name. Well, I can't wait till you come back because it's never enough time. But love you both so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Susie.
Yeah. Love you.
Boy, the fire is hot in here. I love it so much. Pray you found some encouragement here today. Let's do this, friends. Let's get through these next weeks with stability, with humility, with a faith in a Father who will sort it all out in the end. We can do this. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.